Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some say the world is going to end tomorrow. Some say it will never end. Some say our president is the worst one in world history. Others say that about the last one and the last one before that. Some say never count your chickens before they hatch. Some say he who does not count lacks sense. We live in a world full of opinions. What does CNN say? What does Fox News say? What does NPR say? What does the Federalist say? What does this senator say? What is about that senator? What does the imam say? How does that compare to the bishop? For every subject, there are 41 takes. The truth lies hidden in there somewhere, but it may take 40 detours. Denzel Washington, a couple years ago, said, "If you listen to the news, you will be misinformed. If you don't listen, you'll be uninformed." The disciples of Jesus lived in such a world, too. Opinions varied. They'd been following Jesus for some time and had seen the crowds come and go. Some believed in Jesus. Others rejected Jesus. Everybody had an opinion, yet the truth was in there somewhere. Jesus asked his disciples near Caesarea Philippi, "Who do people say that I am?" He seemed to highlight the importance of that question. So did the followers of Jesus later on. St. Paul famously said, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." The identity of Jesus is not just spiritually important, it's bodily important. It's gravely important. There used to be a game show where the contestants had to choose between three doors. You had to choose in order to see if you picked the luxurious prize package or a donkey and a bale of hay. You had one in three chances. Wah, 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 wah was the sound that people heard if they picked the wrong one, right? "You got the donkey and not the Lamborghini. So sorry. Better luck next time." My point being that you had to make a choice or else there was 0% chance of winning. Not choosing is perhaps an option, but it is itself a choice. Some don't like to risk being labeled a fool for picking wrongly. Others say, "You're the biggest fool because if you don't choose something, you'll be guaranteed to go home with nothing." Who do people say that I am? C.S. Lewis, the author, said, "You have one in three options: liar, lunatic, or Lord of all." Rather than giving their own answer, the disciples first gave a sampling of popular opinions. "John the Baptist," some say. "Elijah," others say. "One of the prophets," still others say. All these options put Jesus in the realm of being a holy person. A prophet, that's very generic. A famous prophet, like Elijah of old, 700 years ago. Or a more recent holy person, though controversial, John the Baptist. He's like one of those people. That's what people think. But none of those opinions rightly confessed the true identity of Jesus. A Savior sent from God? No. God's own Son? No. A friend of sinners for which he is willing to give up his life to save? None of those opinions really captured the identity and purpose of Jesus, did they? Thinking Jesus is just a prophet like Moses or Malachi misses the mark. Such does not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that salvation comes alone through him, by grace, through faith and believing. So Jesus changed the question from who do people say that I am to who do you say that I am? He's not as concerned of what the masses say as he is of what you say. Who do you say that I am? As if he was saying, you've heard me teach, you've seen my works, you've witnessed signs and wonders, you've read what the prophets of old have said about the coming Messiah. Do you suppose Jesus was testing his hearers to see which mattered more, whether God's word or whether man's opinion mattered more? I think so. The word of God convicts the heart. The eye and everything else can deceive you. The television can deceive you. The internet is not 90% reliable. Books have been proven wrong. Honest people have been proven to be liars under the right circumstances even. So God sent his Son into the world, the Word made flesh. He speaks for God and to God and as God. And he asks, not demands to know, but asks in his Word, who do you say that I am? He prompts us for a confession, not just in our hearts, but he wants to know what our lips have to say about Jesus. He wants us to confess, to be brave, to say what the Spirit has revealed, what you've come to know. Who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ. Whew. Somebody said it plainly. Peter chose door number 3, and it was the right door. The truth was in there somewhere. It was available to Peter, and he discerned it, not from himself, not from man's opinion, but from the Father. He was and is the Christ, but hang on. Immediately, Jesus began to teach that this Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise. Now Peter, who had just confessed Jesus rightly, now tries to correct Jesus. Apparently, Peter thought Jesus was to be a king like David and not one who suffers and dies. He was supposed to take his seat in Jerusalem and begin his reign. But he didn't want to believe at the throne was his cross, and that his kingdom was not of this world. Peter proved himself to be working for the wrong team at that moment. A Christ without a cross is a world without a Savior. Jesus rebuked him strongly with those famous words, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man," man's opinion. You see, one minute Peter is confessing Jesus to be the Christ, the next minute he is an instrument of the devil trying to deter Jesus from his sole purpose. Double meaning there allowed, okay? His sole purpose. And that's the tricky thing about confessing Jesus. You've got to be all in, or else you're playing for both teams and will be called out. No one gets into heaven simply by associating occasionally with the right side, or simply being spiritual, or being whatever religious, as long as you have one. It's hearing what Jesus has come to do and believing in it, not correcting it, not making it more palatable to your own or our culture's tastes and preferences. Jesus has not come to fulfill our tastes and preferences. He has come to do God's will. He has come to do what the Father has laid out for him to do for us, so that sinners like us will be forgiven and welcomed to stand in the courts of God, forever forgiven. Such is the cost of discipleship, which involves putting on the mind of Christ and not putting on man's opinion. Jesus called the crowd over to him and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and the world, in this world, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Fortunately, blessedly, we don't literally take up a cross like Jesus and die on it to save ourselves. Jesus paid the all-sufficient price with his one-time sacrifice as the great high priest for us. Some say whatever crosses in life that we pick up are under the shadow of Jesus' cross, not our own. His cross and death saves. Our crosses are those responses of love, making sacrifices for others because of what God has already done for us. That's true. But today's text also helps us cross-examine our own lives during Lent. Do we mix and mingle our confession of Jesus with man's opinion, or do we stick with God's alone? Do we know the cost of discipleship? For heaven's sake, we do. It cost Jesus his life. It was his cross, not ours, that saves us. He paid the price. We are living creatures because of him. We do pick up the cross of faith, confessing Jesus before others, before this world, because that shows the belief that we have also in our heart that God raised him from the dead and will raise our bodies to live with him on high. What a God that we have who paid the price for us and under whose shadow we live. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen.